It sure is great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here. We do still have a number of folks that are traveling and certainly want to pray that everybody makes it back safely, but I am so thankful we have this opportunity to gather today. This whole month we have talked about some things that I think are very important. Whether I think they're important or not doesn't really matter, though, because our God said they're important. You see, our God said, as Theo read to us from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, but in verse 18 specifically there, to give thanks in all circumstances, because it is God's will for us to be thankful people. So this entire month, we've talked about focusing on being thankful, reminding ourselves of the importance of what God has done for us. And like Theo said, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have a lot to be thankful for. But here we are at the end of the month and really getting to the close of the year, and Thanksgiving is over. Maybe your leftovers are done, or you've thrown them out or getting ready to. And now we're entering into a time that is going to be very busy. And before we know it, we'll be talking about 2024 in a month or so. But this is still November, and I wanted to talk one last time about the importance of not losing focus, not forgetting how important it is to be thankful. But there are other things that the subject of today can cause us to do besides be grateful. Today, as we talk about sin, you know, and I very rarely do you preach a sermon just on sin or the dangers of it. You talk about sin and you talk about how to get out of it. But sometimes I think we forget that we allow a lot of things into our lives to make us ungrateful people, but one of the greatest that can impact this is the result of sin. Remember how grateful it appeared that Adam and Eve were in Genesis 3? I mean, when Adam named all the animals and couldn't find a helper amongst those animals, God put Adam in a deep sleep, and he removed a rib from Adam's side, and he formed woman. And once the, anesthesia from God wore off, Adam opened his eyes, and he saw this beautiful sight. The greatest sight he'd probably ever seen from a physical standpoint. And it's recorded there, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. It appears Adam is so grateful. They're joined together through marriage by God in paradise. And everything seems great. And I imagine, as we read last week, it's not hard for Adam, Eve even, to get up in the morning and thank God, and in the evening before they go to sleep, thank God. But then Satan slithers his way right into their lives. Now, Satan didn't make Eve eat of the fruit. Satan didn't make Adam eat of the fruit. But he sure painted the picture of how beautiful it would be. How great it would be to be equal with God. How great it would be to understand that you can know all these things. And so that temptation became sin. Once Eve and once Adam acted upon it. Well, what happens after that? They're not getting up in the morning and thanking God. They're not going to bed in the evening thanking God. Now they're hiding from God. They're afraid of God. And it changed the whole outlook on their lives, it appears. In fact, if you read the Bible and you read it carefully, of course you have Cain and Abel. And then you get down, and it's not until Enosh is born. How old were Adam and Eve at this point? I don't know. But it's not until Enosh is born that men finally start calling on the name of the Lord. That could have been a lot of years, a lot of centuries for all we know. All because sin slithered its way into the life of Eve and Adam, and they become ungrateful people. If we're not careful, that can be us. Oh, no, Terry, that can't be us. We're at worship this morning. We even came to Sunday school. We'll be back on Wednesday night. We're going to read our Bibles just like the elders challenged us in beginning of January, and we're going to pray, and we're going to do all the things. We're going to be the type of people we need to be. And listen, I hope that Satan can't penetrate anything, your heart, your mind, your soul, or anything on you. But if we are not careful and we lose sight of the prize, just like Satan entered the life of Eve and Adam and the family, he can enter our lives too. The word for sin in the Greek is the word hamartia. Hamartia. This word means to miss the mark. To miss the mark. You know, there are people that have probably, I'm not saying in here because I know we've got just great shots, but there are people that have probably been hunting this year and aimed at a deer and missed. That could have been with a bow and arrow, or that could have been with a rifle or whatever. It happens from time to time. Sometimes we don't hit what we aim at. Adam and Eve aimed at paradise, but sin caused them to miss the mark. That's what sin is. When we have these goals spiritually and we have these moments in our lives spiritually that we want to achieve and do, and then we allow sin to enter our lives, it makes us miss that bullseye, miss that mark. And you know what happens when we miss the mark? We enter a danger zone. You see, there are warning signs all around us. You think back now to Cain and Abel. Same family, right? We know Adam and Eve, and then here's Cain and Abel. Well, Cain, he didn't blame the right person. He wanted to blame Abel. He wanted to blame God. But he didn't blame himself. Remember, Abel's sacrifice was accepted because he gave of the first fruits. But Cain, he didn't do that. I would imagine he gave the leftovers, right? And you know as good as well as I do, after about a couple days of eating leftovers, you don't want them anymore. See, God doesn't want our leftovers either. He didn't want Cain's either. And so Cain is so angry that God knows how angry he is. And what did he do? He went to him and he said, "Hey, Cain, sin lies at the door." In other words, don't open the door to this. All Satan needs is a crack. All he needs is a little bit of downtime, a little bit of let your guard down time, and he's going to enter your heart. But Cain opened the door, and he murdered his brother. But see, there were danger signs all around him. There were warning signs all around him. God himself warned him. But he still allowed sin to enter in. Oh, sin can cause us to be ungrateful people. But there are a lot of things that sin can cause us. And here's some others. Number one, sin gives us the danger of becoming hardened. The first danger that I want to talk about today is a danger that you can see throughout, especially the Old Testament. The hardening of the heart. Sin means to harden you against the love and mercy of God. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 reads like this: "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law they meditate day and night." Now, at the beginning of this year, the elders challenged us. Our theme, lamp light, is to be in the Word. You know, for a few months, I heard great things about people reading. And I appreciated Scott's prayer earlier as he thanked God for His Word, so that we can open it and get to know Him just a little bit better every day. And man, we were on fire for that. Remember, we started out our classes. George and I taught a class talking about the importance of just the Bible. And then we dug into it with textual studies and other studies, topical studies that really focused on that. We preached sermons around it and everything else. Here we are week 11. I'm sorry, week 11. I've got football in my mind, Justin. Here we are month 11. Month 11. How's your Bible study? Well, you might think, oh, well, life just got in the way. And that might be a reasonable excuse. Or we might say, oh, well, you know, I read a little bit of it and I feel good about myself and here I am. Do you know the more I do not read my Bible, the more of the door I open to Satan? You see, Cain opened the door. Eve opened the door. Adam opened the door. Are you and I going to open the door? If we open the door to sin, our hearts start becoming hard and we stop reading the Word of God. You see, our Bible study, if it's non-existent or if it's just occasional, it's not really accomplishing anything. James 1, 22 through 24 reads like this, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a person observing their natural face in a mirror. For they observe themselves, go away, and immediately forgets what kind of person they were." What does the Word of God do to our lives? We're supposed to allow His Word to act like a mirror. That mirror will point out areas in our personal life that might need changing or improving. But instead, if we allow sin to enter, yes, we become ungrateful people, but we become hardened people because we quit studying the Word and we make excuses or forget to apply Bible teachings to our everyday situations and decisions. I know it's only about a month left this year. But before this year is over, if you have lost the habit, the good habit of daily Bible study, let me encourage you to get it back. If you've allowed sin to enter your life and to become an ungrateful person or to become someone that now you don't want to read it because you don't want it to expose, like that mirror, expose the flaws. Let me encourage you today, you got to get rid of that sin. Don't ignore the warning signs, the danger zones. Close the door to Satan. Open the Word of God. And let's be people that never harden our hearts. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Yes, there were times it was hardened by God. Yes, there were times he hardened it himself. We can't be that type person. What else does a hardened heart do? If we allow our sin to enter and we allow our hearts to become hardened, you know what it does? It takes away the excitement of who God is. Psalm 51:12, written after sin. After David had opened the door to sin, that sin was named Bathsheba on this occasion. He opened that door. He allowed her in physically. They were together physically. And you know how it goes from there. She becomes pregnant. David tries to cover it up. He can't do it, so he kills the cover-up, if you will. And now Nathan points out to him, "David, you're a man who's done wrong. You're a man who's coveted another man's wife. You're a man that has acted upon that covet, and now you've had this affair. You're that rich man wanting that poor man's lamb." Well, David sits down and he pens the words to Psalm 51. And right here in the basic main idea of what he's trying to say in Psalm 51, he writes these words, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit." Why would David have to write those words? Because he had lost the excitement. Is worship still exciting to you? And let me say this. We're not here to be entertained. We are the entertainment. God is here for us to entertain Him by our worship and devotion to Him, by our love and praise to Him, by showing Him the glory He deserves. This morning, as you got up, were you excited about coming here, or was it just something that we have to do? I had a conversation with someone I dearly love who's unable to attend worship. I had that conversation with them this week, and they cried. They cried because they want to be here. You see, folks, you don't know what it's like until we can't do it. Physically, they can't get here. But they want to be here. That desire is there. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about opening your Bible? How do you feel about praying to God? You see, when we allow sin to enter our lives, we lose the excitement. And maybe today is the day we need that heart softened again to appreciate God, to be thankful for God, to be excited. That joy of our salvation needs to come back. The unfocused Christian that has a hardened heart looks to worldly pleasures to fill the void of the excitement that's lost. You see, it's like somebody taking an anesthetic to deaden the pain of an empty heart. Every sin, every temptation that Satan wants us to turn into sin that is thrown our way nudges us toward a complete and utter hardness of heart. And that's a danger. But there's another danger. If we allow sin to enter in, there's the danger of divine disappointment. You see, sin hinders. Sin hinders our fellowship with God. You think about it. The writer wrote that we should rise up in the morning and be thankful, and before we go to bed in the evening, rise and be thankful to God. Why? Because we have that fellowship with Him. How do we fellowship with God? Through His Word, through His work, through worship to Him, through prayer. But when we allow sin to enter in and it hardens our heart, now we also have divine disappointment. How would you feel? You think back to maybe even being a teenager. When somebody said, hey, I'll save you a seat at the lunch table. Or somebody would save you a spot at this place you're going. And you get there and they filled it up with somebody else. Maybe it's a person that they don't even care for. How would you feel? Or how would you feel if you were the person that saved somebody a spot and they never showed up? You see, on both occasions, that's us. For instance, we're saving God a spot, but we fill it with sin. His spot has been taken in our daily devotion to Him because of sin. Or every morning and every evening or every time we pray and get together, God is saving us a spot and we never show up. Sin robs us of fellowship with God. 1 John 1, 3 and 6, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Fellowship can be defined as consciousness that everything is right between God and us at any moment. See, if we're in right fellowship with God, then we can know not only that our salvation is assured, but that our spending quality time with our intimate, close fellowship time with God is also going to be there. When our fellowship is right with God, the things that make God happy will make us happy. Likewise, the things that make God sad will make us sad. So there's a danger in sin, and that's divine disappointment. It causes us to not be in fellowship with God, but it also causes separation from God. Sin is separation from God. 1 John 1:6 again, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we live a lie and do not practice the truth. Live a lie means trying to live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. Do not practice the truth refers to those who are ignorant or willfully disobedient of God's commands. So here we are living a fake life. We're trying to live a spiritual life in the flesh. We're trying to say, hey, I know God, I love God, but I'm not going to keep His commands. You see, Jesus said that, didn't He? He said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Sin is so dangerous. It can cause us to lose fellowship with God, to fall out of fellowship with God, fall out of fellowship with the church as well. But it can also cause us to put a divide there, a separation. And if we have that separation and we do not make things right, then it can cause us to be separated from Him in eternity as well. There's another danger I want to talk about today. If we allow sin to enter our lives, there's a danger of having drained peace and strength in our life as well. Philippians 4, verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Doesn't that sound good? Think of all the war going on in your life, the conflict. Think of all the things that may be warring even right now. You're trying to balance a whole bunch of things, and now the holidays are here and everything is still outrageously high, and you want it to be the perfect Christmas, and you want to be able to give all the gifts and do all the things, and you can't because financially you're not where you were maybe a year or two ago. That causes conflict. Maybe your health is not where you once had it just a few years ago, and all of a sudden you want to go and do things, but you can't. And that causes conflict. Or maybe because we get in our own way, we got into a fight with a disagreement with our husband, our wife today, and now we're going home to conflict. Boy, it sounds good when all that conflict is there to say, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Or how about Colossians 3:15? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. All that sounds good. And it is good. And that doesn't just sound good, it is good. But if we allow sin to enter in, if we open the door to Satan, it will cause anguish of the heart. What happens when we're at anguish of the heart? That is complete loss of peace. Psalm 32, 3 and 4, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. You see, that's what sin does. It drains us. It weighs us down. It causes anguish in the heart. It causes a life of turmoil. It causes a life of misery, of torture, a heart that is hardened, danger of divine disappointment, and danger of draining all the peace and strength we gain from God the Father. Somebody wrote it this way, and I'm just going to read it to you. It is perhaps but a little while, and you shall see the face of God in peace no more. Perhaps by tomorrow you shall not be able to pray, read, hear, or perform any duties with the least cheerfulness, life, or vigor. And possibly you may never see a quiet hour while you live. All of this may come about because you chose to sin. And you are now bearing the consequences. You cannot sin willfully and recklessly without consequence. But it leads us to the last danger of the day that we're going to talk about today. And that is the danger of eternal destruction. You know, I guess throughout history, people have tried to downplay sin. You know, for instance, lying, where they say, oh, it's just a little white lie. No, there are no little white lies. If it is a lie, it is a sin. Or somebody might say, you know, if they speak profanely, oh, well, I only do that when I get angry. Well, we just tried to justify that. And we could go on and on down the list. People try to justify and downplay what sin is, but sin is ugly. And when we lose focus, sin enters our lives. When we open the door to Satan, Cain, do not open the door. It lies at the door, but he opened it anyhow. And we do the same thing. Does sin cause us to be ungrateful? Certainly it does. Does sin cause us to be miserable? Certainly it does. Does sin cause us to disappoint God? Certainly it does. Does sin cause us to have a hard heart? Certainly it does. And that may be us today. That may be you today. But today, you can change it. You can allow God to change it. I can't promise you tomorrow. All we have is this very moment. Tomorrow, I can't promise you that it'll be okay. Next Sunday, I can't say wait till next Sunday. Because if we do not take care of it, it is more than hardened heart. It is more than disappointing God. It is more than not having peace. If we do not take care of sin, there is a danger of being lost for all eternity. I want to read Jesus' words as we close. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. The words of Christ. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. And I was a stranger, and you took Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. I was in prison and you came to Me. Then the righteous will answer Him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" The king will answer and say to him, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me." Then they will say, they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I chose to take my words out of this point and leave Christ there. Christ is the most gentle man who's ever walked this earth. But the warnings in Matthew 25 are real. Not to get lost in feeding, clothing, and all that. Here's what it boils down to. If I have fellowship with God, I'm in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His Son, then I'm going to take care of the needy. I'm going to help those. I'm going to be grateful for what I have. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read. I'm going to study. I'm going to do all the things that I'm supposed to do. But if I open the door to sin and I allow sin to harden my heart and do all the things we've talked about today, then I'm going to end up on the left side. Those on the left side of our Lord, they lose all hope. Today, as we close, the question is real simple. Which side are you on? Are you on His right? Are you on His left? Are you grateful or ungrateful? Are you reading or not? Are you excited to worship or are you disappointed? Or is it a grudge? Are you at peace or are you at war? Are you going to open the door or are you going to close it? You see, the one who gave us those words in Matthew 25 is the only one who can take away our sin today. Today, if there is a sin problem that's causing you a lot of other problems, let's get rid of it. Today, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're guaranteed right now, not tomorrow. Let's be people that are on Jesus' right side, not His left. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.